FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is June 24th, 2020. Well, much turmoil in the market, but it's approaching. We'll see if it gets there to its old highs. But you do have alternatives. And where is the money going to do the best? Where is it going to be most effective and do the most good? And arguably, that is Main Street. And you can invest in Main Street. In fact, the person you're about to hear from has a whole system for doing it. We'd like to know your thoughts about it. Why don't you email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. Let us know what you think, how you invest in Main Street. And person you're about to hear from is Michael H. Schumann. And Michael, you've written 10 books. Books such as The Small Mart Revolution, Local Dollars, Local Cents, The Local Economy Solution. And really, you've got alternatives. So how do we invest locally without throwing our money out?
Right. So I think it's first useful to think about the context. So Americans right now, at least pre-COVID, had $56 trillion invested in sort of long-term savings in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, pension funds, and insurance funds. And 60 to 80% of our economy is local business. We all know that local businesses are key to our financial future. And yet almost none of our money, long-term savings, touches those businesses. So what my book is all about is methods that people can use, simple methods for moving their money out of Wall Street and into Main Street. And Main Street is not just businesses, although local businesses are extremely useful and potentially have great returns, but it's also investing in yourself. For example, getting yourself out of credit card debt, or helping your kids get into their first house, or helping your daughter get out of student loan debt. So local investment really covers the gamut. And what I argue is that using two pretty well-known tools, the self-directed IRA and the solo 401k, it's easy for an investor to move out of Wall Street and into Main Street at a pretty low cost every year.
Mm-hmm. So like, what specific techniques? How do we do this?
Well, say, for example, you are a self-employed person. You can then, if you have $1 in that's reported on your Schedule C, you can set up a solo 401k. And a solo 401k allows you to run your own pension fund basically out of a dedicated bank account. You're kind of your own trust company. And then with that solo 401k, you can put your money into a whole range of things. One of the most powerful things you can do with a solo 401k is give yourself a loan of up to $50,000. And with that loan, you could then pay off credit card debts, or say if you wanted to do a down payment on a house, you could use it for that. So really, you know, anything around you where you see the possibility of a high rate of return, you can invest in. And I would argue that those returns are going to be far more reliable than what you're likely to experience in the roller coaster of Wall Street these days.
And so what kind of returns can you get? I mean, obviously, if you get a small business that really hits it, you know, the sky's the limit. But I assume you've been doing this for a while. What kind of returns have you experienced?
Well, the truly the best returns are the things you will invest in yourself that you have control in. So, I mean, to take the easiest example, if I invest in myself to get myself out of credit card debt and am avoiding, say, a 20-25% interest charge each year, well, that's a 20 to 25% rate of return that I'm getting. And it's not an insignificant issue because probably, I don't know, at this point, 70, 80 million Americans have some significant credit card debt. And unless your employer is matching your pension savings in a normal 401k or IRA, it makes sense for you to dedicate any money you have that you're going to put in a tax-deferred account to put that into resolving your credit card debt. Same thing with your daughter. I mean, say if your daughter had a student loan debt and she's facing 7, 10, 12%, a lot of those student loans are carrying penalties right now. Make a deal with your daughter and say, how's this? I will pay off your credit card, your student loan debt, and you just pay me back at 5% per year. Good for your daughter, good for you, solid rate of return. Of course, you need a good relationship with your daughter to carry this all out.
Sure.
But the point is that, you know, you can start making a list of things that are all around you. I would argue, and I show numbers in the book, that in almost any conceivable scenario, investing in your own home, either becoming a home owner to begin with or paying down your mortgage faster, is likely to generate a higher rate of return than you will get in Wall Street. And there's a bunch of reasons for it. But the simple one is that with being a homeowner, you get the tax deduction from the home interest deduction. Whereas with your other accounts, your traditional Wall Street accounts, you get taxed as you're taking the money out. So just that difference alone makes the home investment a superior investment.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So you really have to look at total returns and tax situations. But now with the limitation on state and local taxes, does it make as much sense as it used to?
That makes a little bit of difference. And I think, people will need to do their own calculations. But look, because you still can do the home interest deduction, I mean, that is the mother load of advantage that you get. The other, of course, advantage with investing in your own home is, unlike taking your money out of, say, a traditional 401k or a traditional IRA, you're not taxed up to $250,000 of gain. So, you know, the differences are so profound between the two types of investment. And I think people don't realize that when you invest in yourself, actually you are investing in your community, because with more money in your pocket, you have the ability to buy more things from local stores and pump up the economy.
Mm-hmm. So decreasing the amount of your income going to debt, you can use it for other more useful things and help out your family members by getting them out of debt. And of course, there's still, even after the tax law and everything else, assuming you're not buying a McMansion or a mega mansion, then the interest deduction is still there, and that's going to help you out.
That's right. And the comparative advantage over the traditional pension savings is really quite significant. But let's also talk about investing in local businesses. I mean, and in this case, suppose, you know, you're free and clear of credit card debt and your kids are free and clear of their debts and you have all the house you want. Does it make sense then to invest in Wall Street? And I would argue probably not. Because there are lots of ways of investing in local businesses that can generate, I think, a comparable rate of return. Plus, you get the social rate of return of knowing you're doing good in your economy. And here's a fact that most people are unaware of, which is that local businesses actually, as a group, are more profitable than Fortune 500 companies. There was a wonderful study that was done in our neighbor to the north, Canada, which really, I think, calculated this much better than we've done in the United States. And it found that those businesses with 10 to 20 employees had almost double the profit rates of companies that would be in the Canadian Fortune 500. Now, it still means that you as an investor have to vet companies carefully and figure out which local businesses are the most promising ones. And that's why I argue in the book that it's important to form groups, investment clubs, maybe share data with other people in your community online so you know what are the best buys out there.
Right. Right, which makes a lot of sense there because regardless what you're investing in, you always got to do your due diligence and come up with an opinion, right?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Silver One Resources is an exploration and development company backed by strategic investors Eric Sprott and SSR Mining. At Silver One's Candelaria Mine project in Nevada, there is already a historic resource estimated at 127 million ounces of silver, which Silver One is developing and advancing. The company's Phoenix Silver project, located within the Arizona Silver Belt, is an early-stage exploration project on which native silver vein fragments have been discovered near surface. One grab sample assayed an astounding 14,688 ounces per ton. Yes, that's right, ounces, not grams. Silver One has tremendous exploration potential, is extremely leveraged to the price of silver, and is cashed up and poised to increase shareholder value. Silver One trades in New York under the ticker SLVRF and in Toronto under the ticker SVE. To learn more, go to silverone.com. That's silverone.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Yes. And unfortunately, this is the big mountain that faces local investing right now, is that it's not that the businesses are bad places to invest. It's that the marketplace for local investment is pretty immature. And the reason for that is that we designed our securities law system starting during the Great Depression largely to help large investors invest in large businesses. And over time, the system kind of opened up for grassroots investors, and that's where grassroots IRAs and 401ks came in. But it's still largely serving these larger companies. So we don't have in place, say, institutions like Moody's or Standard & Poor's to evaluate local businesses. We don't have local stock markets where people can trade their shares easily. We have a small and growing number of local investment funds, but there's a lot of work that needs to be done around that. So the result is you have to, as a local investor, do more of that work yourself, and you have to be passionate about it.
Right. Yeah. Like you say, it's not a rational market. And what I found personally is that when you have a market that's not rational, that is immature, that your profits can be way higher than in a so-called mature market like the stock market, like for companies, right?
That certainly is one I think possible outcome. And I see these success stories around the United States where, say, groups of people in small towns decide, you know, we have no place to buy socks and underwear. Let's create a general store, a mercantile, like they did in poor towns in Washington. And guess what? When 500 people in the community each put in $1,000 to start the store, that's where they do their shopping. So it turns out that store, because of that relationship where the consumers are also the investors, that relationship has really ensured that store's success. So I would look, you know, in your community for the kinds of businesses that have that natural constituency and are looking for local investment as a place where you might do very well.
Right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It does, because, you know, for one thing, it's kind of like Peter Lynch investing, take a walk down Main Street to figure out what you want to invest in. But rather than going to the mall or whatever, you're actually taking a walk down Main Street in your town, finding small businesses that don't have a publicly traded share market, if you will, right?
Exactly. And here's another thing to think about, which is investment crowdfunding with respect to small businesses was effectively legalized in 2016. Mm-hmm. But what I've seen in the marketplace is people beginning to shift from businesses per se to real estate, because real estate is unlikely to sort of go under and lose all of its value. So it's a little bit better hedge. And say, for example, you know, your church is renting a building. Well, maybe the plan could be to help your church buy the building, buy the underlying real estate for it. And so the church then takes a loan from its members, and that's good for the finance of the church and good for the people who put investment in there. And those are the kinds of local investment deals that I think we should all be looking for, is that are relatively safe and really benefiting the businesses or the nonprofits we love.
Right. And which makes complete sense when you think about it, because really, it's you're helping the community, helping yourself, and keeping the money close to where you live.
Here's what we know. We know that local businesses and local nonprofits typically spend 2 to 4 times more money in the community than do outside owned entities. And what that means is that every dollar that you spend at, say, a locally owned grocery store rather than a chain grocery store is going to generate 2 to 4 times the jobs, 2 to 4 times the tax revenue, 2 to 4 times the charitable activity. It's really a very significant difference. Now, you won't experience that directly in your private rate of return, but that's why many of us talk about, on top of your private rate of return, you will get a modest social rate of return for a stronger community.
Mm. Yeah. So there's a lot more to investing than just the bottom line of how big the return is. It's helping your community, which helps yourself, right? And really, well, you know, one thing, though, when you look at the social unrest that's happened here, you don't really want to be investing in these old cities that seem to be going down the tubes, do you?
I think you want to be really careful about that. And it's, you know, honestly, there are main streets all across the country, some in big cities, some in small towns, that for some combination of either mismanagement, misgovernance, bad luck, they're not going to make it. But I think, you know, most of us choose to live in a community because we believe in it. And if you believe in your community, figure out what is the piece of a commercial district that you really want to thrive and be a part of helping cement that future that you want for it.
Right. Yeah. And that could be even portions of declining cities that have a better future or better prospects, right?
So I live in the greater Washington, D.C. area, and one of the businesses that I love and have actually done a little bit of investment in is called Busboys and Poets. It's a combination restaurant, bar, bookstore, event facility. It started in a very marginal area in northwest D.C. I lived in that area when I moved to Washington, and I guess it was 1998. And if I walked, 1988. And if I walked one block in the wrong direction, there was a significant chance of being shot. Now, you know, as a result of Busboys and a bunch of other businesses that have come around it, it's a really aspiring neighborhood. It's called the U Street Corridor. And what the proprietor, Andy Shalal, has done is he has systematically found 6 other places in the region to invest in. He saw, you know, in each of these areas, they were kind of marginal. He saw the future of their burgeoning and became a part of the future. And that's one of the reasons I love Busboys and Poets. I mean, so what I should mention, what I did with them is I went to Andy and I said, look, I know COVID has shut you down for several months. It's really awful. I want to encourage other people to do this as well, but I'm going to give you $1,000 because that's what I normally spend on your restaurant in a given year. And I'm going to give it to you now and want you to give me $1,000 of gift cards so that you have the money up front. And Andy said, God, that's so great. I'm going to give you 20% more. So I got a 20% rate of return on that pre-purchasing investment.
Wow, that's a great idea. I never thought of it. But the risk is that Andy might not make it and you'll be out your $1,000, right?
Absolutely. And I mean, Andy, let's put it this way. Andy has a scale and a history that gives me confidence. And I think, you know, honestly, the businesses that I would be least likely to invest in locally would be startups or very small early stage companies that are struggling. I would look for businesses like Andy's that have been around 5-10 years, have shown their managerial prowess. They're going to make it, but they still need your help.
I love that concept. That's so great. How do you do it with non-restaurant businesses? The same concept, I guess. You go, say, I'll buy a gift card for a clothing store. You got the money now, and I'll spend it when I'll spend it.
Exactly. So this, I'm getting married in August.
And congrats.
Thank you. What we're doing for the guests is we're telling them, don't give us any gifts, but you can put some money into a fund, and we're going to use that to prepay at all of our favorite local businesses to help sustain them. With the understanding, of course, a few of them may not make it, but we're going to do the best we can to keep the economy alive.
What a wonderful idea. Well, you know, this is a really great concept here. It's actually practical. So many times people come up with ideas, Michael, that aren't practical, but this one really is. I know you out there are going to want to do this. Michael, where is the best place to find you and connect with you on the web?
So I do a lot of blogging at Michael H. Schumann, SHUMAN.com. And the book is Put Your Money Where Your Life Is, which is published by Barrett Kohler, but available online wherever.
All right. I love it. Any questions or comments about this? If you have ideas to leverage this idea, I think it's phenomenal, Michael. I just think it's such an easy thing to do, even if you're only spending a few hundred, and even if you're not getting a premium on it, do it because you're helping these local businesses that desperately need it. Anyway, I want to hear your opinion on it. KL@KerryLutz.com. That's the email address. Our Twitter feed's @KerryLutz, Facebook page, Financial Survival Network, and of course, our website where you can get your free newsletter, FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com. Michael, great luck here, and thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.